Right, we're continuing our series on the seven last words of Jesus on the cross. And our hope is that as we look at this series, that we will see something more of the sense of love that God has for us. Because it's probably true to say that many Christians, myself one of them, struggles to really feel and comprehend the love of God in our lives, how much Jesus loves us. Some of us really struggle to receive love. You know, that's something that I struggle with. I struggle to receive love. And that can be reflected in our relationship with Jesus as well. If we struggle to receive love, then we will struggle to receive and understand all that God has for us, all that God has done for us, how much the depth of Jesus' love for us. And my hope is, as we look at these seven last words of Jesus on the cross, that that'll help us to better grasp how deep and vast Jesus' love is for us, what it costs God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for us to have a relationship with Him. And today we're looking at the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And just to recap on the story of the crucifixion thus far, we looked at 9 a.m. in the morning, just to retrace our steps in the previous weeks. At 9 a.m. in the morning, they nailed Jesus to the cross. They lifted it up, and that's when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And we looked at that. And then as the morning wore on, with the jeers from the crowd and the insults from the thieves either side of him, sometime that morning, one of the thieves who were crucified on either side of Jesus was asked Jesus to remember him. Suddenly this thief realized and grasped who Jesus was and asked Jesus to remember him when he entered his kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And then the last time we looked at the third word that Jesus spoke from the cross, which was a beautiful, tender word of compassion that he spoke to his mother when he said, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple John, he said, here is your mother. And today we're looking at this fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that at noon, the morning had passed, and now at noon, after Christ had endured 3 hours of agony and insults from those that he came to save, something new happened, and Christ now began to enter the real heart of his suffering as he entered into darkness. We're told that on the sixth hour, which was midday, until the ninth hour, which would have been 3 p.m, so from midday to 3 p.m, we're told that darkness came all over the land. Darkness in the middle of the day. Now, this wasn't an eclipse, as some argue. An eclipse doesn't last for 3 hours. God had switched off the lights, turned them off. And when Christ was born, remember the shepherds came and the light of God's glory shone all around. Sorry, when the angels came to visit the shepherds, glory shone all around. In the middle of the night, light came in the middle of the night to announce the coming of the Savior. And here in the middle of the day, when he was crucified, darkness came at noon, in the middle of the day. And the sudden darkness tells us that something new was beginning to happen on the cross right now. Up to this point, all of Jesus' suffering had been physical suffering in the main on the cross. The scourging, the nailing and the mocking, all at the hands of human beings. And now Jesus was entering the heart of his mission as our sin bearer here on the planet Earth. And the darkness reminds us that the events that took place in these 3 hours actually are beyond our understanding. But there are some things that we do know and that we do understand that was happening on the cross at this time. We know and understand that Christ bore our sins on the cross. 2 Corinthians says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And we understand that Christ bore the punishment for our sins on the cross. Isaiah 53, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Christ endured the punishment for sin on the cross. That means he endured hell on the cross, because that is the punishment for sin. All that hell is, he experienced right there during those hours of darkness in which he bore your sin and my sin and endured your punishment and my punishment for it. And we also know that Christ was completely alone in his suffering on the cross. The disciples had forsaken him, they'd all ran away, but now Jesus enters into an even deeper isolation than that of being deserted by those that he was closest to. We're now told, not only was he deserted and isolated by human beings and those that he loved most, but now he's forsaken by God himself. Martin Luther says, God forsaking God. What human being can understand this? Earth has rejected him, and now heaven has given him up. And he cries out as a result, my God, why have you forsaken me? God rejects his own son. God abandons his own son. And you say, well, hang on a sec. If God is love, well, how can he stop loving Jesus? How can that happen? How do you work that out if he's love? Well, the fact is, God the Father did not stop loving the Son in those hours of darkness. What happened was that Christ was separated from God's love. The love was still there, but he was separated from it. He was outside of God's love during those hours. The love that the Son had enjoyed with the Father for all eternity. There had never been a moment in eternity where God the Father and God the Son had been separated and not enjoyed that perfect relationship. Now it was beyond Jesus' reach. He was outside of that. And what were the consequences of being out of the reach of God's love for Jesus? Well, because he was our sin bearer, he received in himself the hell that our sins deserved. That was what the consequences of being outside of God's love were for Jesus. And one writer says, God was directly sending the torments of hell against the Christ. This is the deepest mystery in the darkness of the cross in those 3 hours. How could the Father plunge the Son he loved into the torment of hell? If you're a parent, how could you do that to your child? Could you do that to your child? Would you do that to your child? Let me give you an example of how that may have worked out. That God hadn't abandoned his love. He just turned away and Jesus was outside. When my daughter Eloise was born, there were complications, there were problems. And she spent a week in the SCABU unit, the baby care unit. But before that, on the first day or the second day, that she was born, and they realised there was a problem. They needed to get blood out of her, and because she never had, there's no veins. They couldn't get blood from her in order to try and to do some tests to try and determine what the problem was. So what I had to do, I had to hold her down while she was screaming as a baby, whilst they milked blood out of her, and I had to sit and hold her while she went through that incredible pain and agony, and I had to hold her down and look away while they did that. Now, did I stop loving my daughter because I did that? Did I stop feeling the pain and agony that she was feeling? Was it easy for me to do that? Did it mean I wasn't caring? Did it mean that I abandoned her? Of course not. But I just had to look away whilst holding her down. She had to endure that in order for the greater good, ultimately. And when Christ becomes our sin bearer, he's plunged into all the torments of hell, and the Father who loves him turns his face away, and all the comforts of the Father's love are beyond the Saviour's reach. And in the depth of his agony, Jesus cries out, in the depth of this darkness, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did God stop loving? Did he not feel the agony as he heard his son's cry? Of course he did. Of course he didn't stop loving him. And I often wonder when I look at the cross, who experienced the most agony on that day? Was it God the Father or God the Son? Who would it have been more painful for? The Father or the Son? Now I want to look at three things this morning, very briefly, at what the words of Jesus highlight today. First of all, they highlight that hell is a very, very real place. It's a real place. And when Christ bore our sins, he entered into the judgment for our sins. Christ endured all that hell is on the cross. And hell has six dimensions. I've picked up from someone. Six dimensions, and Christ experienced all of them on the cross. Here they are. First of all, Jesus on the cross, as he experienced in hell, he is in conscious suffering. He's conscious of all that's going on. Secondly, he's in blackest darkness. Thirdly, he's surrounded by demonic powers. They're having a field day now, as God has withdrawn. Fourthly, he is bearing sin, your sin and my sin. He's carrying that. Fifth, he's under the judgment for that sin. And sixth and finally, he's separated from the love of God. They're the six dimensions of hell that Jesus is experiencing on the cross. Hell is a conscious suffering in blackest darkness, surrounded by demonic powers. It is bearing the guilt of your own sin under the judgment of God. But actually the hell of hell will be to know that there is a God of love, to come finally, when it's too late, to the realization that there is a God of love and that you could have known his love, but now it is beyond your reach. And that is the hell of hell. And the reason we speak about hell and touch on this from Jesus' word today or any other time is because I don't want anyone to experience it. I don't want anyone to experience it. That is why we go out on the street, on the high road, and tell people about Jesus. That is why we do all the things that we do, to tell people about Jesus, because we don't want them to experience that. That's what it's all about. That is why Jesus went on the cross. Christ literally endured hell on the cross so that you would never know what it's like. It is beyond what any one of us can ever begin to imagine. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you will never experience what Christ experienced on the cross. You will never know what that is like. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You will never experience that. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, you need not experience that either. Because the arms of Jesus are wide open with love ready to receive you. Friends, make no mistake, hell is as real as the cross. We hear a lot about the cross, very little about hell. They're both just as real. And Jesus Christ entered all the dimensions of hell. Nothing was spared him on the cross. This happened. It's a historical fact. Christ received in himself what was due to you and to me. Some people say there is no hell. Well, then what's the point of Jesus dying on the cross? What's the point of evangelism? What's the point of me standing up here preaching this sermon? Why did the cross, why did the darkness, the forsakenness, why the cross, why the darkness, why the forsakenness and the guilt-bearing happen if there is no hell? What was all that about? What did Jesus come to save us from then? The reason it happened is that there is wrath, there is forsakenness, there is darkness, and there is a hell. And all of that was poured out on Jesus. He absorbed it in himself in order to save you from it. And Jesus Christ took on your sin and my sin, your guilt and my guilt, and he was punished for it in our place. And that punishment was hell. Christ experienced hell so that you would never have to experience it yourself. And you never will if you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord. That is why, if you haven't already done so, you must come to him. And you must be in him, because you cannot be saved without him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Hell is a real place. Secondly, God loves you. Make no mistake about that. And we need to rejoice in that fact. And you say, well, hang on a sec. That's a big, big jump. You've just been talking about hell. And now you're talking about God loves me. That's how'd you work that out? That's a bit of a leap. Well, keep in mind that the mercy of God and the justice of God meet at the cross. Love and mercy and justice, they all meet on the cross. And one way to measure the love of God for you is by the price that was paid in order to redeem you. And here again, we're looking at an incredible mystery. What did this mean to the Father to give up his dearly loved Son to this hell on the cross? What did it mean to Jesus Christ to give himself up and become our sin bearer, shut out from the love of God? And some Christians say, I know that Jesus died for me, but I don't feel God's love for me. Well, if that's how you feel, you need to hear this. God the Father had you in mind and planned you in love even before the creation of the world, the Bible says. Even before the creation of the world, God had his sights on you and he planned you in love. Psalm 139 says that he knitted you together in your mother's womb. And then before you were born, God the Son took on flesh and became just like you. And he lived the perfect life. And then he went, he went on the cross for you. And then your sins were laid on him, and then he entered your hell. And he was shut out from the Father's love for you. And in the dark he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did all of that. He did all of that for you, and yet you feel he doesn't love you. Well, pretty hard to please, aren't you? I mean, what else has he got to do to express his love for you? And I want you to see this love this morning. And as you see it, I want it to bring you joy. Because you'll never see more clearly how much God loves you than when you look at the cross. Somebody once said, how much does God love you? And Jesus said, this is how much I love you. And he stretched out his hands and died. How does knowing this then, how does knowing this bring me joy? How can that bring me joy? How can I be rejoicing in that? Jesus, well, you can rejoice because Jesus is not on the cross now. He's not on the cross now. He is risen. Easter is coming. He is risen and he is exalted at the right hand of the Father. His suffering is over. His triumph is complete. God's righteous judgment for sin fell on Jesus. He absorbed it, he exhausted it, and he came through it. And this is why you should rejoice. It's been exhausted. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's judgment has been spent on Jesus. And if you're a Christian here this morning, as far as you're concerned, hell burned itself out on Jesus. Christ was not overcome by hell. He triumphed over hell for you on the cross. And at the end of these 3 hours of darkness, the light returned, we're told. God switched the light back on. And then Jesus said, it is finished. And he gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it up. So that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everything has been provided for you to enter heaven and into a relationship with God the Father for all eternity. It is finished. So hell is a real place. God loves you. Rejoice in that fact. Thirdly and finally, as we draw to a close, the words of Jesus here tell us that we should continue to have faith in the darkness of our lives. In the darkness, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think about that for a moment. The Father's love is now out of his reach. God has turned his face away. Jesus has been shut out from the love of God. He's out of the reach of God's love. And yet he says, my God. He continues to trust God, even when God has turned away and his only companion is the darkness. He continues to trust God. My God, my God. So what does this tell us? Well, this morning, are you going through difficult times at the moment? And if so, are you going to let go of God or are you going to hold on to him? What's the decision that you're making? Are you going to let go because you're not experiencing good times under God at the moment? If so, then I have to tell you that you've based your faith on a God who will only give you what you feel you should have and when you should have it. And you've completely misunderstood the true basis of faith. The basis of a believer's confidence is not whether God shows up when and how you think he should show up, but on what God promises. Friends, faith is not about trusting God. Faith is not about trusting God when the sun is shining in our lives. Faith is about trusting God and holding on to God even in the darkness of our lives when things are not going as they should be. Faith is believing the word of God simply because God has said it, regardless of your life circumstances and however dark they may be right now. What has God said then? What are these promises that we can hang on to, even in the darkness? What was it that made Jesus say, continue to say, my God, even in the darkness? Well, here's some of them. God has said, Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. Even when you're in the darkness, we'll never leave you. Matthew 28, and be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's his promise. But there will be dark times in your life when you cannot feel the love or the presence of God. You will have those times as a believer. And when these times come, you need to know that Jesus has been there. He's been there in the darkness. He knows what it's like. Somebody once said, you can never take anyone further than you have been yourself. Well, as you look at the darkness Jesus was in, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then you will see that you have a Savior to whom you can come in the darkest moments of your life. When you feel God is nowhere near you, Jesus has been there. He knows what it's like. Your Savior has a love and a tenderness towards you that no one else in the world could ever have. Your spouse or your children could never fully give you. On the cross, Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that today, as we look at that, in awe and wonder and worship, we can say, my God, why have you accepted me? With all my sin and all my failure. Hands up if you've never sinned or never failed. Well, my God, why have you accepted me? With all my sin and failure. What could you possibly want with me? I failed you. And the answer is, you are accepted because he was forsaken. You are righteous because he bore your sin. You will endure his heaven despite your failure because he endured your hell. So how much does God love you? This much. This much. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of mercy and grace to us this morning. I want us just to pause. I want to give us some words that we had in the pre-service prayer meeting in the back of the church that everybody is invited to. It's a church prayer meeting, 10 o'clock, every Sunday morning, where we gather and pray for all that's going on here and in the other